back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. I love doing that. I try to save that for like once an hour. I only do that. I don't let myself do that more than once an hour. But what's going to happen, Boomer, when some of these conversations that we're having about expanding the show even further, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to make up a new montage.
You're going to have to make up a new, a new montage.
Blurb. Yes, like I have to find a new way to blurb it. From C to signing she. I don't know. Anyway, okay. Hey, by the way, before I get into the next part of the Triple Dipper, got to tell you, we got a thing going on. So the Boomer had an idea, and ideas are considered good around here.
Yeah.
And you did. So right now it's March Madness is about to kick off. And Boomer comes to me the other day and he goes, "Hey, what if we do a Right Side Ruffian March Madness bracket?" And I'm like, "How do we manage that? Because the last time I did a bracket, it was on a piece of paper with a stubby pencil. And everybody had to turn it into the office secretary so that, you know, we could lock it in. But no. Boomer does technology. So tell them the deal.
Yeah. So the Right Side Ruffian March Madness bracket. If you want to join, go to our website at rightsideradio.org. And at the top, you're going to see where you can just click it. And it's going to take you to the March Madness page where you can sign up, pick your teams, do all that stuff. And you will be entered into our bracket, which is going to be a lot of fun.
And they actually like they have to select the March, like yeah. Take them right to the Right Side Ruffian one.
Right, it'll ask you to join the Right Side Ruffian bracket. You have to sign up, you know, just through their little app, and then once you're done selecting all your teams, make sure you push submit. It's right under the last championship choice, and then you will be submitted, and it's going to be great.
All right, and we got scores of people already doing it.
Oh yeah,
like dozens of people have already done it because you sent out a reminder text to those who were in our text system today, and a bunch of folks did it before the show even started.
Right.
So and by the way, you got a deadline on this.
We got
the first
deadline.
First tip off is Thursday.
Right. First tip off. That's everything closes. It is locked after that point. If you want to go to the website, check it out on the website. If you just want to text in and you've never texted in before, 833-687-4448. Text in and just say, "Hey, I want to join the Right Side March Madness." I'll send you a link right away.
Cool.
Easy.
All right. Well, that's all right. So first of all, good job. Secondly, good job. But that's just cool. So by the way, we're going to have swag prizes.
Yeah.
So we're going to the person who wins. And you, did you say it a moment ago? Well, you said it earlier in the show that the very last game, you wonder, okay, what happens if we have 50 people that choose the same two teams and 25 of those pick the right team winning? You still have to win this thing by selecting the score.
You do. And it's a point margin item. So however many teams you choose in each bracket, it selects all the different points and stuff. So
are you
it's
doing
very
algebra
rare.
Now? Is this algebra?
All algebraic.
Come on, now.
Equations.
Don't make me do algebra.
We don't have to do it. It's all algorithmed out.
All right. If you're like me, you're not good at math, and you're also don't keep up with basketball a lot, you can still do it because it works out. It works out well.
Absolutely.
All right. That's very cool. All right. So yeah, go to our website, www.rightsideradio.org. And right there at the top of every single page, it says, "Join our Right Side Ruffian March Madness bracket," and we'll tell you tomorrow how many people we got. And by Thursday, it locks out because that's when the games start. So you gotta get in there and get her done. All right, I'm gonna go to number two on the Triple Dipper: deprogramming woke. It's amazing to me what's going on college campuses. Now, first of all, there's still a lot of good folks getting a good education on a lot of good college campuses, some better than others. That's always the way it's been. But yeah, it's also amazing how much woke crap is on college campuses right now. I look at it and go, come on, man. This is supposed to be a college education. It's a place where you expand your mind, not shut your mind down. You might actually hear a differing perspective and learn how to debate. Or maybe, just maybe, you might actually be able to realize that there is truth in the world and not just your truth in the world. It literally gets to be, and as I'm about to get into these resources I've got, and I'm going to play you a quote in a little, or an audio clip in a little while. I couldn't help but think of, so, all right, now I am dating myself, but a song from, I believe, the early 90s by the Indigo Girls called Closer to Fine. And some of y'all are going to start singing it in your head right now. But Indigo Girls had a song called Closer to Fine. At one part in the song, they said, I spent 4 years prostrate to the higher mind, got my paper, and I was free. Well, my sense right now is that on some campuses, there are kids having to gut it out to get their education and get away from some of the crap, because we do have conservative kids out there getting an education. We do. We also have those kids that are not necessarily choosing sides. They want to be left alone because they want to learn whatever it is they came there to learn. And then we have activists. And all too often, by the way, the activism is within the ranks of the faculty of the education arena. And that's just, it's just, now I know it's been that way since time immemorial. You know, there's the whole thing about, you know, there were folks who were activists, and then when they retired from activism, they went to teach in the university systems. And then they get tenured, and then they lock it in, man. Here's a piece that started some of this for me. I was looking at this story on Daily Caller. Daily Caller, I believe, is the publication wing of the Heritage Foundation. Daily Caller has a piece about a lady who was teaching at a California community college. And by the way, she was the diversity, equity, and inclusion director at a community college. Why is it necessary for everybody in the world to have a DEI coordinator now? Used to be that was what HR did. Human resources made sure you didn't discriminate. Human resources handled your complaints. Human resources made sure payroll was correct. Now you got to have human resources and a diversity, equity, and inclusion director. The interesting thing is Dr. Tabitha Lee, who was the DEI coordinator for De Anza College, a two-year community college in California, said she was fired because she wasn't woke enough. They were literally saying, we're really not about diversity, equity, and inclusion. We're about agendas. They were pretty brazen about it too, according to her. She says that she was fired on March 6th this year because she did not adhere to, quote, specific narratives on racial issues. She claims she was punished in part for questioning certain anti-racism efforts within the school. She was accused of white-splaining and white supremacy, and she was called a right-wing extremist. By the way, she's black. You can see where this is going. It's pretty bad when allegedly you're the DEI coordinator for a California community college, and you're fired because you're not woke enough and you're accused of being a white supremacist and, oh, by the way, you're black. What in God's name is going on that college campus? Well, she points out, she says, her peers on the campus expected her to hold certain viewpoints. And when it was revealed that her viewpoints differed from theirs, she got all kinds of backlash. Her words, they wanted a black person to do this job, and apparently I'm the wrong kind of black. Wow. On the campus. Well, here's the thing. There's this thing going on right now on college campuses that is indoctrinating people, especially, you know, younger folks, to believe that there's a narrative out there that they must adhere to. And if they don't, they are racist or they are privileged or they're just not going to make it. Well, I got news. It's a lie. When we come back from this break, we'll come back in a minute. And I want to talk about this because what we have to do is begin deprogramming woke. All you right side ruffians out there got to be ready for those conversations. And it's not just about, you know, raising your kids at home. It's about the time when you're going to be on the job and you're going to be confronted with something, or it's going to be about somebody who comes home from work and they talk to you and they need advice. How do we deprogram wokeness from our society? We'll talk about it after this break. Boomer, go ahead and move us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come back from this break. And I'm going to play a clip for you you're going to want to hear, where literally one kid didn't know what to do when he was asked why he believed in some of the woke ideology he'd been trained on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, I got a text from Alex from Elkmont. He says, what was that quote yesterday that you saved to put on the wall? Oh, yeah. Let me make sure I say it right. It was Alex, thank you for that. It was hilarious. Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, he cracks me up anyway. But with regards to Biden's budget proposal, here's the quote. His quote was, well, anything seems possible when you don't know what you're talking about. That was just epic. All right, Alex from Elkmont, thank you much. Appreciate you asking. And yes, that is a quote for the ages, in my opinion. Anything seems possible when you don't know what you're talking about. All right. Hey, listen, don't forget the March Madness bracket. You can go on our website, rightsideradio.org, and right at the top of the page, top right of the page, you'll see it. It says March Madness, and it says join our ruffian bracket. So we've got the Right Side Ruffian bracket. All you got to do is click on it, follow the steps it tells you. You'll be in the system. It locks out pretty soon because the first game is Thursday, and we do have swag. We have prizes. So if you win the bracket, you'll win some Right Side stuff. So join up. Even if you don't know much about basketball, like me, I know basketball. I don't know much about these teams. So I'm gonna be looking at it going, well, I like them. But anyway, check it out. Pick your bracket. Lock it in. Ruffian bracket up on rightsideradio.org. All right, I am in number two of the Triple Dipper. Deprogramming woke. Boomer, I'm going to need that audio here shortly. Boomer's got somebody on the phone, and I know I'm trying to get him to do 19 things at one time. But so here's the deal. I found this story on the Political Insider. You may be familiar with Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's organization. Turning Point USA reporter Savannah Hernandez, according to this story that came up on politicalinsider.com, she went out to University of Texas Austin, the UT Austin campus, and just did like man on the street interviews. And she walks up to this one guy, and she asks him a very simple question. Basically, she wants to know about white privilege and what he thinks about it. You can tell this kid, this is a bless your heart moment, all right? This is a bless his heart, because old boy came across as dumb as a bag of hammers. But he and a bag of hammers ain't that bright. But he came across well-meaning, well-intentioned. The young lady doing the interviewing, she's a Latina, and she's you know, basically saying, hey, what makes you think that you're any different than me? You got that clip, Boomer? Let's go ahead and just play it. Go ahead.
I grew up as a white man, and you're the exact opposite, you know? And so it's like my experiences are going to be different from yours.
How come?
I think, you know, there is a thing of, like, white privilege.
What privileges do you have that I don't have?
Oh, see, that's a question I keep asking myself. Because, like, in this day and age, like, all the laws, I say all the laws, you know, it's hard to speak on something I'm not fully knowledgeable of. So, like, I'm sorry if I, like, make a mistake in saying this. But it's
Don't you think it's a problem in society when white people think that they have more privileges than brown or black people?
Yeah, and I think that's sort of the agenda that's pushed off, because personally, it's like, not that I think I'm more privileged than anyone else, because I had to work to get where I was, and that's like the...
So why do you have that mentality immediately where you, you know, kind of apologize to me, like, let's talk about privilege, let's talk about I'm a white man in America, so we could have grown up differently.
I got you.
Why is that your first initial reaction to me as a brown woman?
Wow, you're getting me good. See, these are the kind of conversations that I love having. And I think it comes from a place of, like, I wouldn't say caution, but, like, in this day and age, people are so quick to judge and react and cancel. And so I guess it's that like, caution to go into an interview like this. I'm like, I don't know where we're at. But now I know where we're at, and I can, like, go for real.
Okay. Go for real. Okay. All right. I'll stop pretending I've got to stay with the narrative, and I guess I'll just go for real. Look, dude, here's the thing. Bless his heart. I mean, the guy was trying hard. He didn't know what to do. He immediately assumed when a young Hispanic lady walked up to him with a microphone that he had to stick with a certain narrative in order to be right. But he was wrong. And so he immediately assumed that what she wanted to hear was that white privilege matters, and what she immediately did was ask him questions about why he even thinks he has white privilege. I mean, what a great question. She looks at him and says, so you're white, so why do you think you have privileges that I don't have? Well, when you've been programmed to just, you know, head down that road, like he said, he assumed. He didn't know what to do. He thought that was where we were, but now that I know that's not where we are, then I guess I can go ahead and be for real. Dude, you even said you had to work to get you where you were. He said that. I had to work to get to where I am. Well, then what makes you think you got privilege and you have to apologize? Stop apologizing. I tell you what, I got a couple. Is that Lee? Lee from Huntsville's on the line. Hello, Lee from Huntsville. How you doing?
I am great. You got a good show going today.
Thank you, sister. What you got?
And you're taking over for me very well, I must say. I heard that comment on Friday, and I just had to laugh. Right?
Proud to serve.
Well, okay. So, de-woke or end wokeness. Well, it's going to take, well, first of all, it's in the school systems. It's in the universities.
Yeah.
And until we make the changes there, it's just going to keep getting worse. People need to, they need to start attending school board meetings. They need to start moving their kids to private school or moving their kids to homeschool. They need to be serious about this, because this is like an insidious creep, and it will eventually rot the whole system. I mean, if we don't make changes now, we are on the cusp of where we can't make the changes anymore. So we must do it now. And number two is you have to stop feeling as if there's this victim and oppressor mentality. There's not.
Yeah.
It's wrong. It doesn't exist. And if anybody heard my conversation with my closest friend, who is a Black woman, on your show, they'll know that all Black people don't believe that. All brown people don't believe that. This is, again, I use the word insidious, type of just lie that's being told to people. And white people are sitting there feeling guilty and saying, I'm sorry. And, other ethnicities are sitting there going, oh, wait, am I oppressed? It's evil. And what it is it's a divisional tactic by the Marxists.
There you go.
In order to divide us.
That's right.
That's it. This is all this is. And until we wake up and realize it's all a lie and we're just trying to be divided in order to bring down the United States of America as the end game, that's what this is. They know they can't do it in the old-fashioned way of the Russians, because we don't have class systems like they did there. They have to do it another way, and this is what they chose.
Oh, perfectly said, Lee. There you go. I am proud to be your understudy. All right, sister, have a great weekend, all right?
You too.
All right. She's right, though, and that's the thing. I said earlier in my monologue in the beginning of the show, if you didn't hear it, I encourage you to get it, with regards to patriotism, that patriotism is learned. Well, you know what? Some of this stuff we're talking about, deprogramming woke, what you're doing is you're having to officially unlearn. As they're being told, like that kid in the recording a minute ago, he had been told that he needed to go to a, you know, conversation like this, an interview like this, with the expectation that he should be willing to apologize for who he is. God made him a certain way, but he needed to apologize for it. Well, screw that. We don't have to apologize because God doesn't make mistakes. So if that's the case, then why are we apologizing for what we are in terms of how we're made? All right, we got more of this. We come right back. We're going to be talking about deprogramming woke. Y'all stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, we cover down on all of it. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hour number three. Boomer, how is it hour number three?
I don't know. That's what I was just asking you. Wait, we're going into hour number three. I should know this.
That's pretty interesting. Wow. Okay. Hey, I'll tell you what. I got a caller who held on there on the line during the break. So let me grab that. Respect his time. Chadwick from Hartsel. Chadwick, how you doing?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking my call. Love you guys. Love what you do.
Thanks, man.
I was just going to make a comment on the last segment. Every time I listen to things like that, I always try to learn something or try to apply something in my own life. And you know, even though she was asking him the questions very respectfully, not aggressively. And it was really cool kind of seeing the evolution of that conversation because, like y'all said, he was kind of just telling her what he thought she wanted to know.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, it seemed like he actually learned something. And he was actually, maybe in the future, he will not be afraid to kind of really stand up for something like that. And I really, my whole point is I really hope that, on the right side, left side, Democrat, Republican, I wish we could talk to each other kind of like that more, in a two-way discussion. Maybe I'll learn something from you. Maybe you'll learn something from me. And just, listen to each other out instead of just yelling, shouting, putting each other down. I really feel like that was a really good example of the right way to try to get a point across.
So, perfect point. Chadwick, are you reading my notes? What happened here? You just snuck in here and stole my notes. That's just what it sounds like.
No, sir, I don't have that kind of power, I promise.
No, but your point is perfectly made, and I'll go ahead and give my conclusion right now, which is basically what you just said, is that if we're going to deprogram wokeness, part of it means we have to be able to have discourse. The only way someone can learn the other side and maybe get deprogrammed is to be able to hear what the other side has to say. And if we don't do that, if we miss those opportunities, then we miss an opportunity, A, to understand where they're coming from, but B, to maybe help them out of the morass they've gotten themselves into with woke ideology that really doesn't make sense in the big picture. You're spot on, Chadwick. Spot on. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you all. Have a good day.
All right, man. Have a good one. That was like if I could have handed them a right side T-shirt, I would have done it right there on the spot. But it's that's the case. In fact, it leads directly to the next article that I was about to get to. And by the way, the point he made, that Chadwick just made, the article that started all this, the reason why this section of the Triple Dipper is called Deprogramming Woke is because the article that led me to the audio link that I played earlier is headlined as this: College Bro Gets Deprogrammed About White Privilege by Latina Turning Point USA Reporter. And what it was saying was when he was asked questions and realized there was a dialogue as opposed to just a narrative he had to recite, all of a sudden, it began to pull him back out. In fact, it even said on here, it's like he took the red pill. those who know. It's so like Morpheus got hold of him and gave him the red pill. But it leads to my next article. So the next piece I've got here came from the Daily Mail, and I just saw it again a minute ago on TV. It's maddening, absolutely maddening. Stanford Law School, one of the most revered institutions for, legal knowledge in the nation, Stanford Law School, had just what I think to be one of the most embarrassing and unbelievable moments in which everything Chadwick said a moment ago was not allowed. So here's the deal. Story in the Daily Mail, I had any number of options to pull the story from. I chose Daily Mail because it included more information. Daily Mail, dated yesterday. Stanford University students have called for a woke inclusivity dean to be fired. Here's the deal. Last week, a Trump-appointed judge named Kyle Duncan, a federal court judge, was invited by Stanford Law School's Federalist Society to come and give a speech. other students decided to show up and make it a non-speech. What makes it worse is not only were there dissenters in the room, but they could not hear his opinion because they wanted to shout him down instead. The reason why they felt comfortable doing that was because before the speech even started, a dean of the school, and you may be interested to know that she was the dean of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and her name is, where'd it go? I just lost her name. It is Dean, oh, shoot, I'll find her name in a minute. But she got up there and her name is Tyrion Steinbach. Dean Tyrion Steinbach, the diversity, equity, and inclusion dean for the law school, decided it was her position to make sure that the judge, the invited speaker, the federal district court judge who was invited to the campus to speak, that he got 6 minutes of prepared remarks about what a bad guy he is from her. A dean of the school decided she needed to put him in his place before he was allowed to speak. Now, of course, she started it with things like, I'm all for free speech, but I believe you need to understand. So maddening as that is, let me point out a couple of pieces. In fact, let me jump forward first. Let me do this. The judge himself, he didn't hold back. And by the way, any of you out there who are in the legal world and you've ever practiced in front of a federal district court judge, you know that they're used to being able to say what they want to say and make their points. In an interview, it says that Judge Duncan called the incident an embarrassment, saying it made him fear for the future of our country. He said, this is a quote, this is one of the best law schools in the world. The students are the cream of the crop, the future judges, senators, presidents, leaders of industry, and yet here's a mob of the best and brightest shouting down a federal judge who's been invited to the campus and thereby demonstrating they don't have the foggiest grasp of the basic concept of legal discourse. That's what Chadwick's talking about, discourse. You have to meet reason with reason. Instead, their operating principle is, if I don't like what you say or think, I'll silence you. Unless those students undergo a radical change in their whole approach to argument and disagreement, they are unfit to be members of any bar. Wow. In other words, they need to be deprogrammed or they will not be worthy of being the lawyers they say they're trying to be. So the interesting piece here, though, and I do take, here's where I begin to shift our narrative on the show a little bit. As much as I'm frustrated with kids like the one in the audio link who didn't know what to say and thought he was supposed to say something, and then once he realized it was safe not to have to say the narrative, in other words, he didn't have a backbone. To the other side, which is the ones who are so entrenched because they've been told to be woke, even to the extent of having a dean stand up and do some of their work for them, shutting down discourse. The thing I take heart in, though, is in this article, it was students who wrote a piece to the school newspaper calling for that to be corrected, telling the administration that you need to fire that dean. And then, by the way, they didn't want her fired. They never once wanted her fired because she said things they didn't like. They wanted her fired because what she did is an embarrassment to the school, and no one should be allowed to keep their job after treating anyone who was invited to the campus the way she did. And it was students who led this follow-up. The school has now apologized, although the school is taking no action against that dean. This wokeness, we've got to deprogram this, and I love the fact that these students are the ones who are saying, we've got to have discourse. We can't do it like that. This is an embarrassment to who we say we are. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now, about a minute ahead of schedule. We'll come right back and begin moving forward on, you know, wrapping this up. But you might want to know that Alabama has got some things going on with some woke ideology in our own colleges. And then here's a thing. I love this. Candace Owens is joining forces with TPUSA for Blexit, trying to change the woke narrative on how black people are supposed to think. No, there's no supposed to. It's how they feel led to think. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Enjoying the Boomer Bumps, man. That was some classic Eagles right there. And yes, I love that.
That was good. Right when it came in, I was like, oh yeah.
You know, I just sat over here and grooved for a minute. It's funny how sometimes these bumps play. I don't even want to talk. I just want to listen to the music for a second. Anyway, Gooden. All right. Hey, listen, we are back right now. I'm going to finish up this topic. I'm talking about deprogramming woke. And I haven't even gotten to all the text messages that I've got over here. I just realized there's so many. Let me just kind of wrap this up by telling you a couple of things. So I completely believe in the same thing that our caller earlier, Chadwick, said. We have to have the ability if we're gonna deprogram woke, we have to have the ability to have conversation, which, by the way, means we have to be armed for the conversation. You don't want to bring a rock to a gunfight, right? You don't want to do like that kid in the audio link I had earlier who walked into the conversation and went, abada, 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 and had no way to explain what he thought were his convictions that he quickly realized were not his convictions. You gotta know how to lay it out there. And, oh, by the way, do not have any fear if someone asks you a question about a political policy or something in, foreign policy news or whatever. If you don't know, just say, I hadn't studied up on that one, man. Let me look into it and I'll get back to you. Just tell them that. You don't have to know everything about everything. You have to know where your principles are. You got to know your principles. You got to know the bedrocks you stand on. And that's the only way we're going to deprogram woke is if we conservatives are ready to have the opportunity for discourse when it arises, and we have the courage of our convictions to say the things that we believe in, and we've studied up. Got to do it. It's like 1 Peter 3:15, I think it is. 1 Peter 3:15, I believe, that says we should be ready at all times to give an accounting for the faith that is within us, and to do so with gentleness and respect. Well, that's faith. I get it. But I believe that principle can be applied to a variety of conversations. I believe we should be ready at all times to give an accounting for the conservative principles that we stand on and be willing to do so with gentleness and respect, meaning you don't beat somebody up because of it. You let them know, hey, listen, man, you may feel that way, but I don't. Here's what I think. Here's what I believe. Here's what I stand on. That's the only way we're going to deprogram woke is if you're ready for the conversation when the opportunity arises, you can say, yeah, but here's something for you to think about. If they don't want to hear it, they won't hear it. If they want to shout you down, let them try. But here's a couple more things to think about. We've got this. Don't think that Stanford Law School situation or the fact that the kid was interviewed in that audio link I had was from UT in Austin. Those are liberal venues. How about this? How about University of Alabama? So 1819 News has a story that came out today. It's up on, by the way, we now have, if you want to see them, anytime I quote a story and rattle the paper, what we're going to start doing is every single day, if you go to our website, rightsideradio.org, and you go to the live stream section where you can watch or listen to the show through the internet, at the bottom of that same page, there's a button you can hit for the Right Side Sources. Every link to the stories that I've got that day are up in the order of their dipper, so you can go grab the story. This one's on 1819 News. Alabama's 14th in higher education appropriations, 14th in the nation. $2.12 billion we're going to put into our universities. Great. Keep in mind that in recent years, the article says public universities have become ideological battlegrounds. Governor Ron DeSantis is in the process in Florida of instituting widespread reforms to prohibit things like diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. Yay. We need more of that here. State Representative Ed Oliver here in Alabama. He's got a related bill in the House of Representatives right now that, if passed, would ban all public education institutions from promoting or endorsing or requiring affirmation of certain divisive concepts. All right. Let's talk about this. What's a divisive concept? Well, some of them are just going to be matters of opinion, and you got to be able to deal with those. Some of them are things like, though, at the University of Alabama, according to the article, they just required students in some type of a gender studies class to purchase a $95 textbook. And I think it's an online textbook. What? And it required them to have this. with content that dealt with things like what they call third wave feminism, abortion, radical subjectivism, androgynous children free of gendered norms, sexual promiscuity, queering society, and learning from drag queens. That kind of crap is divisive. There's no reason to have something that teaches you to gain from drag queens. So, yeah, it's out there. But I'll close with this. Here's my last piece on deprogramming woke. Candace Owens. Some of y'all may know Candace Owens. I got to see Candace Owens and Charlie Kirk speak here in Birmingham right when they were both kind of hitting the scene. This would be, I guess, about 6 years ago. And Candace Owens, a dynamic conservative black woman, has started an organization that you may have heard of called Blexit. And the idea is taking it from Brexit, which is the British, you know, exiting the European Union. Blexit is trying to encourage the black community to understand that there's another narrative, and the idea that you have to vote Democrat, like Biden said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Well, that's just awful. Blexit, in her own words, since the beginning, it says Blexit has been about reaching more people who need to see themselves as victors, not victims, empowered, not oppressed. If just a small fraction of the black community, it says, in America, catch the vision, we can change the entire country. So they founded it in 2018. They already have 44 state chapters, 14,000 volunteer members, 60,000 supporters, and they're rejecting what they call the mainstream narrative. They are empowering minorities to take advantage of opportunities. In other words, what they're doing is they're deprogramming woke. They're telling folks it's about freedom and family and faith, and they're working to shift culture through live events. They had 2,000 people back in 2020 that marched in a Blexit event. At the end of the event, the whole 2,000-member crowd broke out in the national anthem. Candace Owens says, Black Lives Matter ends their meetings with rioting and looting. Blexit protests end with 2,000-plus black and Latino Americans singing the national anthem. That's how you deprogram woke. That's how you do it. That's how you deprogram woke. You give them another narrative. You show them another way. And oh, by the way, you're prepared for the conversation. And if they shout you down, you have a conversation with somebody else. Don't worry about it. Move on. Shake the dust off your feet. But if you have an opportunity to share the principles that you believe in, you better know what the principles are you believe in. Don't be like that young skull full of mush who was asked about his white, you know, does he believe in white privilege? Oh, yeah, I got white privilege. I mean, I do. Why do you think you have privilege? I don't know. No, don't do it. Don't do it. And by the way, if you see somebody lost in that morass, be willing to bring them out of it. Deprogram that woke. We got to get rid of it. All right, folks, we're going to come right back and finish up the last half hour of the show. I'm looking forward to this next topic. It's called Top Gun is Tops. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.